Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, that it is he who made us and that we are his, that we are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through every generation. Several years ago, when our youngest daughter, Ashby, was graduating high school, we approached her like we did our other daughter, Danica, and said, within reason, pick anywhere you want to go, and we want to do a great family celebration trip together. Ashby is our animal lover and our artist, and so she picked Hawaii, and we found ourselves standing before massive waterfalls, wandering through botanical gardens. But the signature thing that we did on this trip was that after the sun had set and the stars were out, we squeezed on wetsuits and we entered into the inky blackness of a nighttime Pacific Ocean. For there on the west side of kind of the Kona coast, you have an opportunity. There was a diver in front of us pushing a surfboard. And when we got into position, our guide turned on the light shining underneath the water. And we waited. And we waited for the otherworldly creatures of manta rays to come and perform a ballet right in front of our masks. They literally swam inches away from our faces. This is not any stock image here on the screen. Ashby is our artist. This is, she had borrowed an underwater camera. This is an image that she herself took. An hour went by in what felt like an instant. And when Danica and Kelly and I came out of the water, we all had the same reaction to what we had just experienced. For us, this was a holy encounter. That we had come face to face and so near with something that was such an unusual and incredible dimension of creation that we were filled with awe and wonder and the majesty of Almighty God. And as we were singing these praises and as we were talking about it, I noticed Ashby's face was actually crestfallen, that she was sad. Because you see, in that hour, while we were taking it in, Ashby was experiencing all of that through the lens of a camera, through the frustration of an artist trying to get the shot just right. And that what we had experienced, she had missed. And that she was filled with a sense of loss. Scholars actually have, scientists have a term for what Ashby was doing. It's called a mediated experience. In other words, you don't experience something firsthand. You're present, but you're not fully present because there's a filter, there's a wall, there's something in between you and the life that's being presented before you. For most of us on a daily basis, our phones were functional cyborgs. We have mediated experiences all the time. If you doubt me, just see this picture here of a group of guys standing and watching Tiger Woods play. All these people are having a mediated experience. The only exception is the guy with the beer in the front row. Scientists have a term for this as well. This is called an altered state of consciousness. But do you find yourself in a similar kind of experience each and every day? That you can't just experience it all on your own. There's not just weddings anymore. There's weddings that are geared towards the Graham. Every moment is curated. Every moment is experienced and captured and filtered and seen as a mediated experience. One of the most remarkable things about the invitation that God has given to us to dwell with Him, one of the incredible gifts that has been given to us of what we celebrate in the life, death, sacrifice, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that we don't have to have a mediated experience. We can come to God directly, unfiltered, unvarnished, and that the praise that we have can be given directly, that our experience can be relational. And so as we enter into this month of Thanksgiving, I don't want you to have mediated Thanksgiving. I want you to have direct Thanksgiving. I don't want you to miss out or to be sad. And Psalm 100 is a prayer that helps to remind us and to calibrate why we give direct thanks to Almighty God. The first movement in this prayer is we give thanks because God's joy is everywhere. The invitation to worship is universal. Here's how the prayer says it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. We get to come before the God where joy and delight is everywhere. Let me show you a portrait of what that delight looks at. Look at this picture. Isn't this guy look like joy personified? This is a man by the name of Lewis Smedes. And the reason that he looks the way that he is he's been trained to look this way. He grew up as Dutch Reform immigrant family, products of the Great Depression, living up in northern Michigan where life was cold and harsh for most of the year. He says, and he reports in his memoir, that the only people that he can remember ever smiling in church were the babies, and they were immediately ushered out the back doors. He never knew joy to be filled in everyday life, much less that God was the author of that joy. It wasn't until he got to his first year of college on his first day in class, and in his memoir he says this, "The first class of the first day of my first semester was English composition. The teacher was Jacob Vandenbosch." How about that for a Dutch Reform name? "He introduced me that day to a God the likes of whom I had never even heard about, a God who liked elegant sentences and was offended by dangling modifiers. Once you believe this, where can you stop? If the maker of the universe admired words well put together, think of how he must love sound thought well put together. And if he loved sound thinking, how he must love a Bach concerto. And if he loved a Bach concerto, think of how he prized any human effort to bring a foretaste, be it ever so small, of his kingdom of justice and peace and happiness to the victimized people of this world. In short, I met the maker of the universe who loved the world he made and was dedicated to its redemption. I found the joy of the Lord not at a prayer meeting, but in English composition 101. God loves sentences well put together. God takes delight in engineering. God is interested in finance well invested. What he discovered is that there wasn't a single dimension of life that if it was done unto the Lord, if it didn't matter what profession or what dimension of life that you get to see, if you get close enough, if you look deep enough, what you will see is that God has crammed earth full of heaven. and that his joy is everywhere if only we have the attentiveness and the eyes to see, and dare I say that we put down our phones long enough to be able to notice. Why do we give direct thanks to God? Because his joy is everywhere. Why do we give direct thanks to God? Because he has made us as his very own. If the invitation to worship is universal, the reason to praise is personal. Notice the shift here in the prayer. Know that the Lord, we get to know that the Lord is God. And it is he who made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Here is a picture of our second joy-filled person of the day. This is Charles Murray. Charles is not a professor like Lewis Smedes was in the first example. He's more of a think tank guy. He's more of a data guy. He's more of a research and policy kind of guy. Follow the information, and where does it take you? He grew up in a Presbyterian church, walked away from the faith when he was leaving high school, and basically just didn't give God another thought for decades. Got married a little later, eventually had a child. And then his wife came to him, Catherine came to him one day, walked into his office and said, "I love my daughter more than evolution requires." And this was like sending a bomb into his soul. Because he thought, you know, this was just about survival of the fittest. This was just about passing along your genes to the next generation. This was about just kind of giving it and letting it go forward for a little while. But that he and his wife had had the same spiritual experience of growing up in a mainline church, walking away from faith, and then all of a sudden there was a confrontation with the birth of a child, of a love that was beyond reason, but a love that was not unreasonable. And so over the course of decades, the data guy, the policy guy, the think tank guy, started just following the evidence. The evidence of there being more than just us. The evidence of there being a God. The evidence of the revelation of that God in Jesus Christ who has come to die so that we may live. And Charles Murray, the think tank guy, becomes Charles Murray along with his wife, the followers of Jesus Christ. It is one thing to believe that there is delight in the world. It is another thing entirely to know that God takes delight in you. That you know that he made you. Why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God's joy is everywhere, because he has made us as his own. And then thirdly, because God's goodness doesn't have an ending point to it. That the practice of thanksgiving is not an event, not a month, not a season, not a holiday. It's something that continues over and over and over again. Third snapshot of thanks. This time I don't have a picture, because this came from a radio program on NPR. The program, this American Life, had the portrait of an author by the name of David Dickerson that described his coming to faith moment. And in that coming to faith moment, the title of the episode was "Know When to Fold Them." And in doing so, He described how he grew up in a Christian family, and unlike Charles Murray, he didn't walk away from the Christian faith just kind of never thinking about God again. Oh no, not David. He walked away from the Christian faith and he thought about the God he didn't believe in anymore with anger, with vitriol. He was furious with this so-called God and furious at his father who so deeply believed in that fantasy. A decade went by and David is 28 years old, and he's looking for a fight with his dad. He's waiting for the right time. He said this, "I had all this ammunition, and I couldn't wait to use it." I remember thinking, this is going to be a showdown. My dad didn't know this, but I was at war with him. And so his dad mentioned some mission that he's passionate about, and David explodes at him. And he says, "I knew that while I was doing this, I was assaulting his dream. And he just kind of quietly let me do my thing." And after he had poured out all of this venom and anger on his father responded in this way, "David, I'm really proud of everything that you've done." And David was undone. His father didn't fight back. In fact, he reported this, "I hadn't expected to lose completely because you can't argue with decency. You can't argue with goodness. For you see, the characteristic of what we learn in this psalm is that the Lord is good. Let me ask you, do you think you can get to the end of God's goodness? Do you think that your skepticism can get to the end of God's goodness? Do you think that your doubts can get to the end of God's goodness? Do you think that your anger can undo God's goodness? Whatever it is that you think you have against God, whatever it is that you think that prevents you from a relationship with God, do you think that that is checkmate against God in the midst of his goodness? No, his goodness never ends, and you cannot argue with the goodness of God. That we completely lose against the goodness of God. Why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God has made his joy everywhere woven into the fabric of this universe. Why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God has made us and claimed us as his own. Why do we give thanks? We give thanks because God's goodness is greater and never, ever, ever ends. Do you remember when I told you at the beginning of this message that Ashby came out of the water of this signature moment and she was sad? She knew she had missed it. I could tell you all kinds of moments where, as a parent, I've gotten it wrong. This was a good dad day, though. Because when I saw her face, I went to one of the guides and I said, "Listen, I know these things are booked up months in advance. We're here for a couple of more days. Do you have room in the next couple of days for just one more?" And they squeezed her in. She thought that she had missed it, but she got a do-over. And she got to go into the waters, and this time she went into the water without her camera, and there, right in front of her face, was the dance of one of the strangest and most majestic creatures that God has ever put on the face of the earth. The salient phrase and the invitation of this prayer is the word enter. You get to enter into his gates. And the phrase come before him. Consider that. In a dark world, you get to come before the living God. But if you're living a mediated experience kind of life, if you're not careful, you'll miss that invitation. Come before him. Enter. Let us pray. The promise of this table, O God, is that your presence is here. That in our prayers, in the gathering, in the breaking of bread, in the sharing of the cup, the real spiritual presence of the one who made us descends upon us as a communion of saints. And so, God, we ask you for forgiveness for settling for mediated experiences, for being so swept up in trying to capture the moment that we miss the invitation. Thank you that you're a God of do-overs and that you got room for just one more. And so, Father, as we share the most basic of gifts, in the bread and the cup, will you remind us that there is a love that is greater than evolution requires? That there's a love beyond reason that's not unreasonable. And so may we know you. And will you claim us right now? And this we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said.